It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to be here. Amen. The Lord has seen us through another storm. It's pretty rough around our way last night. We had thunderstorm or tornado warnings, and that's never a lot of fun. But we're just glad to be in His house this morning. And in case you didn't notice, I'm sure you would have had to have not, you would have been asleep coming in this morning if you didn't notice, but we've opened up a drive-through. But I told the choir this morning, just as well laugh as to cry, and prayerfully we'll get a brand new fence at no cost of our own. But so just remember that little situation in prayer, and we're imagine they're still on the look for the perpetrator that took out the fence. But God is good, amen? And we say, all the time and all the time. Yeah, y'all got it. As a matter of fact, I think we'll start off. And we're here this morning to worship and to praise Him. Amen. And He's worthy of our praise. And we're going to worship Him today and let Him know how much we love Him because He first loved us. Would you sing with me this morning? It says, God is so believe He answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to you. Do you believe He's coming soon? Sing now. God is so good. Just how good you are to us. Lord, if we were to stop and just take a few minutes, Lord, we could count all the ways of how good you are. Lord, maybe we don't even realize how good you are truly. Lord, why you'd be so good to us, we know the reason why, and that is because you love us. Lord, this morning we've come this way that we might tell you that we love you. We want to worship you, Lord, and we want to praise you today. Lord, I pray that you'd remove any hindrance today that would stand in the way of you, Lord, being able to accept our worship. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just be in the service today. Show yourself strong in this place. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you're coming soon, but until then, we've gathered in this place to worship you, to magnify you, and again just to tell you that we love you. Lord, thank you for loving us even when we're unlovable. Lord, would you get glory out of the service today? Lord, maybe someone's carrying a heavy load this morning. It'd be a great time just to come down and cast all of their cares upon you because we know that you care for us. Lord, we don't have to wait till the end of the service. Lord, if you touch someone's heart this morning and draw them, Lord, I pray that they would just come and kneel at your feet, Lord, and cast that care upon you. Lord, some going through difficult times. You know exactly what's needed in this place here today. Lord, we'll worship you and we'll praise you. And when we leave this place, we'll be able to say that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are right on time. Be with the choir this morning as we sing. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
About to die, but tarried he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye. But coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Deserts, they were so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die.
And I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? But coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
Thank you.
ahead, but he has. Oh, when I can't conquer death, but he has. When I'm tempted to sin and I fail the test again, he passed. Yes, he passed. Oh.
Aren't you thankful for that? You talked about when I'm tempted to sin and I failed the test again. I don't know if you caught it or not, but it said, he passed. Yes, he passed. I'll tell you what, church, won't you stand with me this morning? And we're going to sing, how about When We All Get to Heaven? Page number 393. We're going to involve you in some singing this morning. Page 393. And let's sing, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. When we
again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I'll leave you just a couple of things, and then I'm sure Pastor will share some other things that I would probably have forgotten. So please remember all the prayer requests. We have a pretty good list of folks that stand in need of prayer. And again, Pastor will share a couple of those and hit on a couple of them in a few moments. Choir, if you'll meet me this afternoon at 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock for choir practice today. And we're going to work on a few things, and so just be much in prayer. And so 4 o'clock choir. Also, please do pray about the situation with the fence out there, and just pray the Lord work all that situation out. And we have some spoken things that need prayer, and I'm sure you do as well. Many of us do. And so just remember all those in prayer and ask the Lord to be with them in a very special way. And let me just say that I had an opportunity for all of you that have been here at Calvary for some time. You'll remember Toby and Cheryl Cochran, of course. And you would remember Chase. Been some time since you've seen him. And Ashlyn, you might remember that name. Yesterday, they were married. I had an opportunity yesterday to perform the ceremony. And it's hard to believe that all those years, we watched them grow up as little kids in the church. And I shared just a quick little snippet. Cheryl said, you know, I remember I was out in the garden picking some vegetables, and old Chase come up to me, had his shorts on and his button-down shirt. You knew he was in business, you know. And he walked up to me. He said, hey, Mom, I'm going to take Ashlyn out for dinner tonight. She said, oh, you are? He said, yeah, but don't get too excited. He said, she told me I can take her to dinner anytime I want to, but I'll never be your girlfriend, you understand. Well, we settled that yesterday. We settled that yesterday. And they're in Barbados this morning, left out about 6 o'clock this morning. So pray for them. That's a little sketchy in itself. But they said, please tell the church and all the church family how much we miss them and how much we love them. And it was just a great time. Any time you can spend with Toby is always, well, you know. But it's been a great weekend, and they're doing great. I will leave you with this. Please pray for Cheryl, and we'll just leave it as an unspoken request, but pray for her. She's going through some difficult times physically, so just remember her in prayer, and I know that she'd appreciate it. But they said to tell you hello, and again, it was a great weekend. It's amazing how the Lord can work in situations, and we pray. I don't know about around your house yesterday morning, but it was coming a flood, and then the rain just stopped. And we was able to get the service in outside in the sunshine. And then last night, he said, okay, that's enough of the sunshine. And the storms came, but the Lord held the rain back. And I'm very thankful for that. And we just had a great time. Anyway, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Ask him to be with us in a special way. And just to give us a great day in his house. Amen. Brother Don Nettles, would you lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning?
Thank you.
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Alan, get on board. It's the old ship of Zion, and it will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my troubles and trials behind, 'cause I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Just sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
What a blessing this morning. So good to be here. Good to see everybody. We're going to save the advertising after the service. We're going to get right into the scriptures this morning. And you glad you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good to be here. Again, thank you, Brother Allen, for that song, Old Ship of Zion. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. If you have your Bibles, please make your way to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. In just a moment, we're going to look at verse number 1 down through verse number 7. And we'll say this while you're turning there to 2 Kings 4, please remember Leonard Palmer, Miss Dolores, in your prayers. They are just trusting the Lord at this point. And doctor says he needs a miracle. That is Brother Leonard. And so we had special prayer. I know you've been praying, but we had special prayer Wednesday night, and continuing to pray all the way through this morning. Just remembering them in prayer, if you would. And again, we'll mention some things after the message this morning on the church calendar. Let's pray, ask God to bless the reading and preaching of His Word, and hope and pray that He will minister to us. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You this morning for all things, God. We thank You for the good times. We thank You, Lord, we choose to thank You for the bad times. We know that You work all things together for good. And Lord, there's a lot of people on our prayer list that is sick, that's going through things they've never been through before. And peradventure, there's some here this morning that is here in person that's going through things they've never been before. They would certainly not raise a hand to talk about it, but God, You know what they're going through. You know what they need. Those watching on Facebook, listening online, Holy Spirit, we pray You'll communicate to every ear and every heart. We love You today. We thank You. Lord, I need a physical touch. I need spiritual power. Give me a clear head and a calm heart this morning. Help me gird up the loins of my mind. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Here in 2 Kings chapter number 4, we have a story here where a woman's husband has died. And as though that wasn't bad enough and hard to experience, there was a knock at the door, and it was the creditors. They had come along and wanting payment. Evidently, when the husband died, he had left a good deal of debt. No doubt he loved the Lord. She said that on his behalf in verse number 1. But nonetheless, there was this situation on top of another situation. So the law says that the children can work off any owed debt as slaves until the debt is fully paid. On the same token, the law does not say you're allowed for bankruptcy. Bankruptcy was not allowed. And so we have the beginning of layer on top of layer, problem on top of problem. The husband died. Creditors are at the door. Kids may be gone to be slaves. How much worse could it possibly get? So no doubt this produced a panic on top of grief. I don't know about you this morning, but grief is enough in one's life to deal with and to visit the avenues of mourning over someone, reliving memories. That's enough to deal with. The empty seat at the table, the empty recliner, the essence of a person that's left behind is hard to grasp, that they'll never be on this earth again. But we see that this lady here, she's a widow and she has grief. The creditors are at the door. The kids may be taken away. And so she has panic on top of grief, layer on top of layer. She's in a jam. Now, the key to solving this particular problem is actually found in verse number 2, and it all surrounds a little pot of oil. This widow woman would go on and she would exercise faith in the direction that God's man gave concerning this little pot of oil. And God would go on and He would bless this story. He would bless her ending. The Lord has had me in a certain vein the past couple Sundays. Last Sunday, we were handling snakes. A stuffed snake, that is. And we were talking about Moses there and how that God changed his rod into a snake. We preached on what's in your hand. And it had to do with the provisions of God. And so in like manner, but turned a little differently, I want to look somewhat in that same vein at the provisions of God. But my title this morning is this: Little is Much When God Is In It. Little is much when Almighty God is in it. Don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. But in Zechariah chapter number 4, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" You can go on and read the rest of that verse later. But there is this viewpoint, there is this perception when something new comes along or something little and it begins to develop, there's this viewpoint on that can be despised. Can be despised. And so this morning we see that when God is in something, when God is directing something, and when God is all over something, what could appear little, what could appear frivolous, what could appear like it's nothing more than just a circumstance, a situation, God can do amazing things in stuff that's little. So this morning, little is much when God is in it. We're going to jump right in, and I want to mention three things about this story. First of all, we see that she went to the right person for help. Back in our text verse this morning, 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1, notice what the scriptures say. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors." Let me stop here and say, this is the only time where it's good to borrow your way out of debt. You'll get that in a minute. "Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." So point number one has to do with this when it comes to little as much if God is in it, that she went to the right person for help. Verse number one says that she cried. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried unto Elisha. Now, it matters this morning who you go to for help. This widow woman was in debt. Suppose she confided in others who were in debt. It goes something like this: "Girl, I'm in debt, girl. What do I do, girl? Oh, girl, you don't do nothing. You know the government owes us anyway. And so if she would have went to someone who was in debt, it may have been something like that. Girl, just ride that government out, girl. Don't you know? And so it matters this morning who we go to for help. We need to go to the right person for help. Now, going to the right person for help sometimes doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. But they will indeed tell you what you need to hear. And so we see here that she went to the right person for help. Now, if she would have went to that girl for help that told her to just leave it up to the government, and if she would have listened to that friend, her two sons would be taken away as slaves to pay that debt. It matters who you listen to. It matters who you go to for help. It doesn't only affect you, but it affects those around you. Go to the right person for help. All right? Be careful who you go to with your problems. Be careful who you go to with your marital problems. Be careful who you go to with your financial problems, your parental problems. If you're going to somebody for spiritual advice, be careful who you go to for someone who is needing spiritual advice and that could give it. So number one this morning, she went to the right person for help. You and I know that number one, we're to go to Jesus for help and He will provide for us. But we as humans like to have a little bit of tangible feeling. And so there's nothing wrong with going to a counselor, going to a pastor, a teacher, a deacon, a close friend. You just make sure, as odd as it sounds, go to the right ones. Go to the right ones. Number two, she went to the right person for help, but then she was asked a certain question. Notice, if you would, in verse number two, there was actually two questions she was asked. I'm interested in the second. The Bible says, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" So he asked this question, "What do you have in the house?" This was a significant question. It was kind of an odd question. She already told him she buried her husband. The creditors are at the door. She may lose her sons. And he has the audacity to ask what you have in the house. She doesn't have any food. She doesn't have any money. The Bible and these scriptures do not imply there's any supplies of any kind. If we're taking God's word as it is right on the surface level, all she has is a roof over her head and a pot of oil. So why is Elisha asking this question? Elisha, the man of God, he is magnifying what she does have, not what she don't have. He was magnifying the thing that she does possess, not the thing that she doesn't possess. And we see that. We see, based on his response in verse number 3, notice in verse number 3, after she said in verse number 2, "And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Verse number 3, "Then he said, What you do have, the only thing you have, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." As of right now, that's all the info she has. She says, all I have is a pot of oil, a vessel of oil, a flask of oil. That's all I have. I want to say this morning that this question was setting the stage for a miracle. This is the perfect scenario for God's intervention. We have a widow. We have debt. We have authorities knocking on the door to take the kids. And we have nothing of no value in the house but a pot of oil. What in the world is Elisha thinking? Why is he asking this question? Why didn't he say, okay, ma'am, I got it. How much do I write the check for? Absolutely, I know God personally. You just tell me how much and I'll stroke the check. It didn't go that way. Me personally, when a problem would come up in my life or my family's life, and I go to God, I wish Brother Allen, God would just say, how much, son? And just abracadabra, boom. Bills are paid. Sickness is gone. You see, the man of God here, Elisha, he didn't say, how much do you need? He said, what do you have? What do you have? This was a setup for a miracle that this woman needed in her life as she grieved for her husband, as she was hanging on to her kids, trying to pay the bills. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's going through a hard time, a difficult time. Feels like that's all I preach about is trials, but it's the truth. We all go through difficult times. I wonder how big your difficult time is. I wonder the panic and frustration and the anxiety you may carry upon your chest all the day long. And you may even wonder, well, where is the Lord? Why don't He just show up and stroke a check to me and just clear this up? I'd be lying if I would say, that's okay, God. You don't have to do that for me. I'd be a liar. Because I want God to show up, Brother Larry. And I want God to abracadabra. And I want God to stroke the check. And I want God to do these things. But there's something about it when you are part of the miracle. God, he began to use Elisha here. And he said, what do you have? I want to ask you the question this morning. What do you have? Last week, again, we talked about Moses and his rod. He had a rod in his hand. It was lifeless. It was dead. And when God said, cast it on the ground, he did, and it was a snake. He retrieved it. He was scared because the Bible says he ran. Then God said, pick it up by the tail. Listen, we are people living in scary conditions at times. The doctor may say something. There may be an unforeseen bill coming in that would certainly crush your home if it came. And the uncertainty of things that happen and setbacks and heartaches. Listen, a lot of us this morning, some may be smiling on the outside, but on the inside there is turmoil. So Elisha says, he asked, what hast thou in thy house? She says, all I have of any value is a pot of oil. Here's what she did. She had faith in Elisha's word and the process. I want you to notice verse number 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She was going to be obedient to the words of God from God's man, and she was going to borrow the vessels. She was going to shut the door and she was just going to pour it out. just pour it out. I feel like that sometimes we need to find a quiet place and just pour out our souls before the Lord. Pour out our complaints. Those unsolved mysteries in our Christian walk that we don't understand. I think sometimes it'd be good to just get on our knees and pour it out. Pour it out. There may be some people here that are undergoing hardship from family matters, financial matters, physical matters, spiritual matters even. And maybe you just need to find a quiet place, shut the door, and pour it out. Pour it out. Something miraculous happens when she starts to pour. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I do want to say this. The vessels were borrowed. She received those vessels. Verse number 3. And we know her sons brought the vessels to her. And she poured out of her one vessel into these other vessels. So there were vessels that were borrowed, empty, not a few. She poured out what she had into those vessels, and then she set the full vessels aside. Now, this is all the instructions that she had. Stay with me. I'm trying to connect some dots here. This is all the instruction that she had. You say, Brother Justin, well, obviously she knew that this was going to be something she could sell. Well, you know what? I'm so elementary. I don't see that on the surface of the Bible. It didn't say that. So she don't know. Only thing she knows is she's going, her sons are going, knocking on doors. Hey, I'm in need of some empty vessels. Do you have any? Hey, I'm in need of some empty vessels. Do you have any? Maybe even somewhere through that process, she felt like, what am I doing? I'm spinning my wheels. I'm begging. This is what the prophet said to do. What do I do? But you know what she did? She trusted the process. She kept on going. Kept on knocking. She just kept on borrowing. And her sons kept on bringing vessels. And she kept on and kept on. She didn't know the outcome. We know the outcome. She didn't know the outcome. Therefore, she was trusting the mysterious process. You may have things you want God to answer. Some prayers. Nothing's happening. What do you do in the meantime? You trust His process. Well, how do I know, Brother Justin, that I'm even allowing His process to lead me? Or how do I know that I'm even walking in His process? Or I'm even in His process? Well, that's why you got to get along with God and ask the Lord to lead you and guide you. God, you know about this situation. And God, I trust in you. I lean not unto my own understanding. I acknowledge you in all my ways. Direct my paths. And when you're doing that with total dependency upon God, no matter what the situation is, you have now become in the process. In the process. A lot of times when troubles come, we try to see long. We try to trust our own process. Well, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to take care of that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And of course, we have to do something, but the most important thing we need to do is allow the Lord to lead. Allow God to lead. She was trusting the process. She had faith in Elisha's word. Could your scenario be a set of events to create a miracle in your life? Could God be teaching you and I a lesson this morning on His provisions? I think so. Listen to this. Here's some other things about this situation that she learned, I feel. She had faith in God's process and instructions. She didn't know exactly why she was borrowing the vessel. She just did it. But then what about this? This reached out to me and grabbed me and just kissed me. And I kissed it back. Look at verse number 3, what he says. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Verse number 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Thank God for those God allows us to cross paths with who are part of our process. Amen? These neighbors help add to her success. They could have said, no, you ain't getting no vessel from me. Your husband shouldn't have left you in a jam to begin with. Listen, we got enough hatred in our world like that. We don't need no more of that. We can either be a part of somebody's process to success, or we could be a door slammer. I thank God for those in my experience in Christianity and ministry who they have been part of the process. Part of the process. And I thank the good Lord that He has allowed me and my wife and my daughter to be part of other process. Others in their processes. Oh, if we would just love our neighbor. Oh, if we would just be part of the process for someone else along life's journey. She went to the neighbors and they lended her the vessels. Now, let me say something else about this. Of course, point number 2 is she was asked a certain question. And we're talking about the vessels, talking about her oil that she had and to go borrow the vessels. But I seem to think that she had, or she borrowed about 4 vessels. That's just my opinion. I'll tell you how I came up with that. Verse number 3. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. Okay, I'm not that smart of a guy, but a few, I think, is 3. And if it was me, I would be kind of curious about the process. What is he getting at? Where is he going with this? He said, borrow not a few. So what I would do, I would borrow 4. I would borrow what's expected and 1 more just in case God is in it. And you know, I think a lot of times we all are the same way. And of course, I'm reading into this and I'm giving you my opinion. But I think a lot of times we're that way. I'll give you a little, Lord. I'm not going to give you a lot. I'm going to give you some control, but I'm not giving you all control. I believe she borrowed at least 4, and I'll tell you why. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. Son, it's flowing. It's flowing. Bring a vessel. Mom.
I'll grab what you told me to grab.
No, son, bring another. This oil is flowing, it's flowing. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. What would have happened if she would have had more vessels? The oil would have kept on flowing and flowing and flowing. And so the man of God, in essence, was saying, I need some empty vessels that can be filled, and it will continue to flow. The more you bring that's empty, the more I can fill, the more God can fill. And truly this morning, the more that we empty ourselves, the more that God can fill. God can fill. And the only time the oil stops flowing, was we don't have no more available vessels that are empty. He don't want dirty vessels. He don't want, listen, thank God he does. Thank God when our vessels break, he molds us back and he pieces us back together. But the Bible talks about in a big house there are many vessels, and there's some for honor, some for dishonor. He goes on and he talks about that you ought to know how to control your vessel unto honor. So what we're looking at this morning, we're looking at a miracle that has happened through emptiness. I don't know what your deal is this morning. Those watching on Facebook, listening online, don't tell me your problem's too big for God. Don't tell me there's something in your... You may be blindsided by it. And the tears may wet your pillow. But at the end of the day, don't say it's not too big for God. Because God, He operates and the oil begins to flow when things get empty. Some of the closest times in my life with Almighty God is when I've been bankrupt spiritually. Not too long ago, Christy and I, we followed the surgeon's assistant, down the hospital hallway at CHOA, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. We were handing over Lily to the surgeon. She was going to be on her stomach for anywhere between 4 and 6 hours. On her stomach. This is her story. She loves it when I tell it. They were going to cut her open about a foot long. The surgeon was going to grab her spine with his hands and align it. They're going to put in two titanium rods a foot long, one on each side, 19 screws. I've counted on the x-ray, maybe 20. My thought is, why not 20? But anyway, that's just my OCD. But my soul, we were letting her, leading her down that hallway and out of our control. The devil told me, listen, the devil told me for 10 years. I knew that day was coming. Lily knew it, Chris knew it. The devil told me for 10 years she's going to die on the operating table. My one and only child, our daughter, and I'm the dad, and I'm supposed to hang on the moon and do everything and make sure she's okay. Now I'm walking her down the hallway, and I reached down, and it came down to my index finger. I saw a tear fall down, and I, 1 foot, just like this, I caught it on the tip of my index finger, that tear. I was like, oh, God. God, if I ever needed you, it's now. We went back to the room. We just cried because, my goodness, your baby is going to have surgery. Those few days at the hospital, Lily, she had to be turned. I mean, every 5 minutes she had to be turned. We were working. Me and Christy were could be certified nurses. He and she. Propping pillows. She had a morphine button. She did good. I mean, every time it lit up green, she was able to mash it. So she mashed it. And I don't blame her. But I can remember one night, Christy was absolutely slap give out. She just had her time with Lily like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And she was laid down trying to sleep a minute. I was beside Lily. And all the lights of the medical supply equipment was lighting up her face in the bed. And I sat down in that chair and I grabbed Lily's hand and I just cried. I said, oh God, my Jesus, I can't bear this sight, what I'm seeing. But God, I know you saved me and I know you can change things. I'm asking you to give our girl, get her through this, but give her a fast recovery. Those moments were so intimate with Jesus. I wouldn't have prayed for them. listen, if we can rewind things and God say, your choice, I would still say, let's don't do this. But on the other side of it, the closeness that we had with God and our family unit was so much closer, it all came through desperation and emptiness. We don't ask God for these things, do we? We would have chosen a different route, wouldn't we? Okay, the question is, what are we going to do since we're encountering these things? We've got to do something. We've got to do something. And what I think, one of the messages, probably the main message of this, in my opinion, Elisha was magnifying what she had, not what she didn't have. You may only feel like you've got one more prayer left. You got one more prayer left, guess what? Grab hold of the horns of the altars. You may only have two pennies to rub together. When God gets in it, He can stretch it. Listen, you may have a medical situation and you may have gone to all the doctors and they have turned you away. There's nothing we can do. But when God gets in it, God can do a lot out of a little. When God's in something, He can make it work. Little as much when God is in it. I think it's all about perception. And listen, here's one of these updates. Preaching update, preaching is easier preached than lived, okay? But it has to be preached. And if it has to be preached, let it be preached authentically and real. This morning we have simply a widow woman. She went to the right person for help. She was asked a certain question. And then I'll say this, she had a favorable outcome. Now, verse number 7 says this. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt. I'm stopping there for a moment. So the deal is, if she would have asked for more vessels, she could have filled more vessels. But okay, the vessels she asked for, they're filled. Now he says, I want you to sell them and pay the debt. Sell the oil and pay the debt. She sold them and she paid the debt. That's a favorable outcome to me. But not only did she sell them and pay the debt, but she found out she had more than enough. Because Elisha said, live off the rest. Live off the rest. If there's anything I know, in serving God, He always provides. Sometimes it's when I don't need it, He gives it. But most of the times, He gives it only when I need it. He's always on time. Listen, you and I, we are entitled to our feelings. I'm not the kind of preacher that says you're not allowed to feel. Because you are. You know, I'm a feeling preacher. I'm not a feel-good preacher. I don't mean to say that. I'm a feeling preacher. I want you to feel. You're supposed to feel. We feel fear sometimes. We feel anger sometimes. We feel all these things sometimes. But at the end of the day, God always comes through. He melts every fear. He secures our victory and always provides. So when we put God first, let us trust Him. And He will create stories to tell in your life. I'm sure everybody in this place has a story. At least one. Many of them, but at least one of a story that you could tell. That you had nothing left but a little bit of something. But it was that condition of heart and mind that you cried out to God and you seen Him do something great. He at least met the need, but probably gave you more than you needed. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You today. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments as we give this invitation, Lord, that if someone's here that needs to come, I pray that they would come. Lord, we were kind of piggybacking on last Sunday's idea of you being provider, but we can't out-exhaust, out-preach, and out-exhaust or exhaust you, God, talking about your faithfulness and giving to us. So I pray if there's someone that's here that needs to come, let there be liberty, save the lost, and bless the saved is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you need to come. Would you come on the very first verse? Would you come?
God is so good. God is so good.
Anybody else this morning? Are you down to a little? Little is much when God gets in it. Come and let him in it this morning. Come and let him in it. Some are coming. Please don't let nobody pray alone. Come and pray with somebody. Anybody else? Find you someone to pray for this morning. If you died today, would heaven be your home? No, I hope so's, but only no so's. Come and know so. Please feel free. No judgment. Nobody pointing a finger. I appreciate these who've responded. Let's play softly for a minute, brother. In just a second. Again, please remember the Palmers in your prayers. Miss Carrie Bennett, Connie Teague. I spoke with her yesterday, and we. She listened to my message. I listened to her message, but she is doing better. But please remember her. Lucy Godfrey and her sister Bettina, Ms. Diane Ely, Jim Jr., Don Daly. Again, the list goes on and on. We have a big list here. So please pick up one of those and look into that. I want to say thank you, church, for the surprise party last Sunday night. And thank you for all the cards, the thoughtful gifts. I mean, my goodness. I got one gift, and in my head is on a baseball player. I mean, it's the coolest thing ever, you know. And I got some tomato plants coming along. Amen. So we got some good things. Thank you all for that. Mother's Day next Sunday. No PM service. The 18th will be graduation Sunday morning. Thursday at 1 p.m. will be the OCC Operation Christmas Child kickoff meeting prayer. Sure.
I just want to say I thank the Lord for letting me have this opportunity.
Amen.
To step up to do this Operation Christmas. And God's going to bless us. I really have. I've just really been excited. I was. But in the front, we have a donation jar because it's going to cost us $10 per box for us to ship these to these children.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie, for that. Thank you, OCC team. yeah, Brother Brian is in revival this week out in Bremen. So let's remember him, strength and energy and all the things that it takes to present. We certainly will. Remember the second Thursday as well of every month is the ladies' prayer brunch. Remember that, second Thursday of every month. And again, we just got a lot of things going on. Remember our movie night. It's at the last Saturday of this month, the 31st, and that's going to kick off our Sunday nights downstairs. I've heard a few people ask about that here lately. And so, good Lord willing, we will start that back up just after that. We can have snacks and, you know, just a time of fellowship and devotion downstairs. That's a good summer thing that we have. So just remember that. All right. I know I'm leaving something out, but meet us back here tonight at 5 o'clock for the service, 4 o'clock